So, the week before last, the last time I spoke, not last week, which was Isaiah 53, the week before, do you remember where we were? Who remembers? Wave your hand or something. You don't remember? I guess last week got messed you up so much, I just don't remember what happened the week before, huh? What, you remember Jericho? Can't hear you if you're talking.
Can you hear me now?
Yes, I can.
Okay. All right. I think it was the attitude of obedience, part 3 or 4. I can't remember the number. But we were discussing more, continuing about how to rephrase it.
Where, what scripture?
Oh, scripture. We were in, I think, Proverbs. We were in Psalms, Deuteronomy 18. We were in Psalms 8.
Romans chapter 7, verse 4.
Romans chapter 7. Thank you very much. Romans chapter 7. Why is this so important? Why is this so important? And again, you know, you can mute to talk like I when I ask your questions. Do you see a correlation between Romans chapter 7, pay attention, listen close, watch my lips, listen to me. Do you see where I'm going by the Spirit of God? Romans chapter 7, Isaiah 53. Do you see it? It's important that you pay attention when I start to do these kind of messages and you think I'm just going randomly from scripture to scripture. No, there's a beginning, there's a middle, there's an end. Isaiah 53, let's go back there. Starting at verse 1, who has believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? Who has believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? The arm of the Lord is a symbol of his strength. It's also a symbol of, like, in Hebrew, of might and military power. It's also a symbol of. I guess I would use the word rest, but it's a support. It's like, whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? That's him carrying you on his shoulder, him putting you on the shoulder and carrying you to safety, or carrying you when you're weak or you're beaten. To whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? Are you listening to me? The quietness is driving me crazy. You're going to have to, you're going to have to unmute or something. I need to make sure you're with me on this now.
Okay.
Got you. Description.
Definitely. Yeah. You know, I feel like I'm in isolation somewhere. The arm of the Lord is your strength. His strength being provided to you. You listening?
Yes.
It's military might.
Yes.
Don't sleep on what I just said.
Mm-hmm.
It's military might. What does that mean? That means if the enemy comes against you, greater are they that are with us than the they that are with them. Remember that?
Mm-hmm.
Look at the army surrounding us. Lord, open his eyes. Open his eyes so he can see. Elisha said, greater are they that are with us than with them. So the arm of the Lord is revealed means his military might. And then finally, his strength or his comfort. The Hebrew word is his shoulder. But it's to carry you on his shoulder. Maybe you could even say to cry on his shoulder if you need to. But if we're in a war and we're battling, we ain't got time to be boo-hooing and crying on the shoulder. We got strength. Crying is for baby Christians that don't know that the arm of the Lord is revealed to them. Mm-hmm. Somebody can say amen to that.
Amen.
So the arm of the Lord is revealed to us. Are you listening to that? That means it's hidden to others. What's that? To whom the arm of the Lord is revealed means it's not revealed to everyone.
Yeah.
Available,
yeah,
but not revealed. You keep going. For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, as a root out of the dry ground. He has no form of comeliness. And when we should see him, there is no beauty that we should desire. This is really strange to me when I saw this, because it's describing the Lord when he comes. Are you listening?
Yeah.
Regardless of the image and the picture we want to get of him, this is saying he's not cute. He's not cute. I always want to picture him as ripped and strong. And just royal and regal in his stand and his position. But the scripture said he would not comely. He's not cute to look at. There was no beauty in him that we would even desire him. That, to me, hit me in a very powerful way. Because I've glanced over that before, but I never paid it attention. Are you listening to me? Are you listening to me? Give me a thumbs up or something.
Yes, yeah, sir.
Yes. Yep.
Yes.
That says to me, when the Lord shows up on your behalf, a lot of time he ain't cute.
Mm-hmm.
You look right over because it don't look like what you think it should look like.
Mm.
It don't come in a form, a package in the way that you even think you want to open that package. The scripture said he didn't come. And I'm sure if he had come looking as gorgeous as I thought he should look, with dreads and a six pack and buff shoulders, and all the women would be chasing him all over the place. And all the people, men would be bowing to him and going like they did Saul, because he was tall and handsome and everything else, and he was, and they wanted him to be their king. But God strategically said, no, I'm sending him in a way where you are overlooking. And only those to whom his arm is revealed will see him. That means there's a move of God that goes on every day in our life that's not revealed because it doesn't come in a comely form or in a form that we accept. On children of God, this is why obedience is so important right now. This is why this word obedience and prosperity and obedience is so important right now, because the move of God is going to come in a way that's not attractive to our eyes. It's going to happen in ways that don't appeal to us. It's going to happen in ways that we think that, well, I don't think that's fair. But why is it happening for him and it ain't happening for me? It's going to come in ways that rub you the wrong way. But if you're not discerning, you will dismiss it as garbage. There's no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men. A man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. And he was despised, and we esteemed him not. Now, God had me look up, because I saw he was acquainted with grief, rejected of men. Okay, I could take that. Not the beautiful that we would be attracted to it. Okay, I can accept that. But when it got to a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, that rubbed me wrong. Because you're showing me that there's times that I won't see the move of God. Well, what is this acquaintance with grief? And I looked up the word, the Hebrew word, acquainted, And I was shocked to find out which word God wanted me to understand acquainted was. Are you ready for this? It's Yada.
Ah.
Wow.
Wow.
Yada. Intimate. But the breakdown was he came to know it intimately. Well, he would have to, because where else would he know it? And this where he came from the kingdom, he would never have any experience with that. But this yada is described as to know or to learn to know, to perceive, to seek, to find out, to discern. He had to make himself familiar with something and volunteer to be a part of something that was not part of his nature or who he was. He had to become acquainted with grief. Why? For me, he's wounded for our transgressions. He's bruised for our iniquities, it goes on to say. The baked in sin, the chastisement of our peace upon him. He had to become acquainted with something that was not a part of his daily life or who he was.
Okay.
He had to say, I want to get to know something that I don't even need to know. Because there's a job, there's a task.
Yes.
And he did that for us, but we didn't esteem him. He was despised. So we did this last week. I won't go through all of this again. Surely he bore our grief and carried our sorrows, right? It's for us. That's why he became acquainted with it.
Right.
Take it for us. The New Testament says it. That he could draw unto himself those who were in sin. Surely he bore our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken and smitten of God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. Now, the next verse 6 says, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned away everyone to his own way. Are you listening? Yes. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquities of us all. Every one of us. He was oppressed. Listen close. And he was not afflicted. Yet he opened. He was oppressed and he was afflicted. Yet he opened not his mouth. He didn't defend himself. Because he did, he couldn't take the pain for you. Watch this now. And the Lord laid on him the what?
Iniquity.
What's the iniquities?
Baked sin.
He laid it on him. Sit with that. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquities of us all. Let's see if we understand what that means. God laid on him the iniquities of us all. Give me some volunteers here. Nobody?
Laid it on him to me says he took the brunt of the consequences of the punishment for me. That he took that, even the baked in, that he took those punishments and took the power of it.
That's it. That's a good place to get emotion. The consequence of your baked-in evil, the punishment that should have been received for it, he volunteered and took it. He took it. Whatever the penalty is. Well, the penalty was death. He took it. He still takes it.
Mm-hmm.
He still takes it. It wasn't a one-time transaction. He still takes it. He still takes it. Are you with me today?
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
He still takes it. Now, that shook me up because I knew that about the iniquities. But as I said to you last week, this is the reward of obedience. We're talking about how God rewards obedience. So let me finish reading before I give away my top secret. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers, he was dumb. He opened not his mouth. Now, verse 10. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He has put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hands. So now, let's talk about this. God was pleased to do it, bugged me also. You're pleased to take that on? Well, why was he pleased to take that on? Because he saw the big picture. He saw your life redeemed. He saw the prosperity that belongs to you now. He saw the peace of heart and mind that you can have. Well, watch this. He saw your right to claim your heritage forever and ever, even if you didn't know you had a right to claim it. He saw that this enabled and empowered your package, even if you never picked it up. He saw that this gave power and virtue to an eternal situation, even if you never took hold of it. And he also saw that the day you did take hold of it, it would be as fresh and new as it was the day that he laid it down for you.
Amen.
Thank you, God.
Amen.
Amen.
I know I'm preaching something today.
Go ahead.
The big picture for God was to give you fruit with no expiration date.
Hallelujah.
Come on.
Thank you, God.
To give you grain, fresh new grain. Drink from this cup and you will never thirst again, Jesus said. That would never go stale. Whether you take part of it or you never lose it. The blessings of God are without turning or shadow of repentance. They don't get old. They're always yours and always yours to claim.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Gone for so long, but it's still fresh and new. He saw the big picture. He saw that no matter how many times you got it wrong, right was available to you without consequence. Mm. You know what I just said? I didn't say wrong was available to you without consequence. I said right was available to you without consequence. If any man lack wisdom, let him ask God who give to all men liberally and upbraideth not. He don't bring back the fault. If you seeking out, all I want to talk to you about is out. I don't want to talk to you about yesterday anymore. That's over there. He did this. It pleased him to take that pain because he knew the price was gaining you back. Would you not know a provision like that for your own kids? Would you not do that?
Yes. Yeah. Absolutely. Said,
this is what I did for you. It pleased the Lord to bruise him, put in him grief.
Jesus.
And thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin. He shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. So now, what's the pleasure of the Lord?
That he see us well.
Speak out. I want to hear it.
See us prosper.
Is he see us well? See us accomplish? See us love?
Come on now. Doesn't it say he takes pleasure in the prosperity of his servants?
Yes.
Now
yes.
We understand why he takes pleasure in it. Because he paid a heavy price for it. Mm-hmm. He paid a heavy price for it. He put a lot into it. This is a major investment. This is bigger than Google and Amazon and all of that. He made an investment, and he's excited to see the return on his investment.
Yes.
Oh, y'all, come on. Y'all need to get
come
it.
On,
yes. Amen.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
He's excited to see the return on his investment. He's thank excited you, God. About that. He says, no, I made this investment. I don't care if it takes 10 years, 20 years, 100 years, 1,000 years, whatever it is. He's not slow as man would think to his return, but he's watchful. The scripture says that every soul gets an opportunity to get saved, to see the salvation opportunity. Everybody's like, no, I want to see a full return on my investment.
Mm. Yes.
Amen. Amen.
Yes.
Amen. Amen. Yes.
I want to see it too.
Mm.
I want him to be real happy. So when I said last week he takes pleasure and I want him to take pleasure in me, this is what I'm talking about. You made an investment in me.
Ooh.
You didn't just create me.
Jesus.
You didn't just make me and then send me on my way to figure it out. You got stock riding on me. You sit there like, come on, Diamond. Come on, Diamond. Like, you know, God, you know what I'm saying? God's got a stock. Strong investment. He wants yes. to see the return.
Yes.
Each and every one of you.
Yes.
You are God's investment.
Yes. Yes.
Yes.
Amen. Amen.
Jesus. Mm. Hallelujah. Mm. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank God for listening.
Hallelujah.
Now, Shell is in, boy. Shell, you almost pushing your head into the screen. Shell is like, yes. Pop handling it right.
Hallelujah.
So, because we're his investment, that changed me this week. It changed the way I see myself.
Mm-hmm.
So before I start the message, I talked about the phone calls and the things that are happening.
Crazy, right?
Well, I understand why it's happening like it's happening. I see now, forget their approval. I'm approved by him.
Yes.
I'm his investment. I'm his stock. I'm his stock option. You with me?
Amen.
Yes.
Amen.
I'm his stock option. Are you with me?
Yes.
Yes.
I ain't gonna say it for y'all. I'm saying it for myself. You gotta say it for your own self.
Yeah.
I'm God's stock option.
God's stock option.
I am God's stock option.
His future trade.
I am His investment.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
It's much brighter, God.
I know. I told you.
Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah. God invested in me. Hallelujah.
And He has the power to make His investments work.
Yes.
Yes, He does. Yes, He does. Yes, he does.
Thank you, Lord God.
Hallelujah.
So, sat down with this and I said, okay. You made me to prosper because you take pleasure in that.
Yes.
You want me to win. I just want to stop real quick. I want to say a short prayer, but a powerful prayer. Because some of us are still burdened and weighted down with the religious lie that has been spoken over you from a child growing up, that God wants to see you suffer and God wants to see you go through things and God don't want to help you until the very last minute, you don't invest in your stocks to see them fail. Now, maybe some of you don't understand stocks, but I do. And I want my stocks to win.
Right.
Cotton picking one of them. And I do not say, well, yeah, it went down and I might be losing thousands of dollars this week. But, I'm happy about that. I'm happy about that if I know next week is going to bounce back triple. So God is saying to you, you're my investment. And I'm pleased because I know that you are destined to win. God yes. didn't create you to hurt.
Yes.
I didn't create you to be bruised and beat up and knocked around. He said, in this world, there is tribulation. He said, it goes on. But be of good cheer, my investment. I know the market. I overcome this world. I've done it.
Hallelujah.
I took all the griefs. Didn't you read what we just read up there? I took all the burdens and the grief and the shame and the rejection and the suffering. All of that up there. You get it? The first couple of chapters. Mm-hmm. Rejected, despised. So he didn't just take your sins so that you can live for eternity. He said, I took your rejection. I took you people despising you. I took people not liking you. I took people not even looking at you and thinking you're beautiful. I took all that for you, all of that. And by the stripes, I took the punishment, as Lindsay pointed out, the punishment that you deserved for your iniquities and shortcomings, I took that so that you could be healed and made whole. Say, my price has been paid.
My price has been paid.
I'm going to give it to you in this way. I have businesses. I'm partnering businesses. I've invested money, time, energy in these businesses. There's a connection to these businesses because of the investment. I've talked to people who own businesses and they let family and friends in and there always is a grief attached. They won't cooperate, they don't help, they don't build, they don't do nothing. They just sit back and they just want to collect the money, they don't want to work. And I say, well, how much did they invest? All right, because it was my brother, so I just figured we could be partners. Well, he has no commitment to that business. He has no love for that business. He has no horse in the race, whether it fails or succeeds. If it succeeds, he's happy. If it fails, so what? He has no commitment to it. Why? Tell me why. You can all unmute and say that one time if you want. Why does he have?
He didn't put any skin in the game.
He got no
no equity in it.
Nothing to lose.
Right? Wow. I just showed you here God's investment.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
He's got a lot to lose. If his investment doesn't pay off, you think he's going to stand back idly and watch his investment fail?
God's not in the business of losing.
Come on now. So now with that said, think about this. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. Verse 10. Put on my griefs. Verse, we did all of that. 11 said, he shall see the travail of his soul, and he shall be satisfied. Read that again. He shall see the travail of his soul, and he will be satisfied. What does that mean? Come on. And I want some other people, not the ones who keep speaking. So that means James is out, Angela out, Lindsay out. I want somebody else, Esther out, somebody else. He will see the travail of his soul and he will be satisfied. What does that mean? It's not that complicated. Okay, you better speak, or I'll be saying good day and checking out.
Well, I'm looking here and it says travail is painful or laborious effort. So I guess
no, but he would be satisfied. That's the point I'm pointing out. Okay. God will see the travail of his soul. We know what travail is. That's a lot of pain. And thanks for pointing that out. But God will see that and be satisfied. What does that mean? Well, what is it to be satisfied to you?
Pleased.
Pleased. Okay. What you got? What you got, Crystal?
I mean, if it was satisfied for me, it'd be to feel fulfilled, I guess.
I like that. Fulfilled is a good word. What you got, Kwame?
The same, fulfilled.
You got something, Rachel?
Hey, I'm sorry. I can't. I'm just listening right now. I can't really talk.
Okay. What about you, Angie?
Fulfillment.
Everybody saying fulfillment. So let's look at that in his terms. He saw his travail or the pain that he allowed him to go through, and he was fulfilled. There's a different meaning there. Linda Smith typed something, she said. That he will be pleased because God sees the result and will be glad. Okay, that's true. Or nobody's wrong yet. But there's a different definition here that you guys are missing. Are you ready? You ready?
Yes.
If you, how many of you got some credit card debt and stuff on your, in this point of your life?
It's paid. I'm sorry.
Come on, Mike.
Yeah, it's paid up. It's complete. It's done. It's paid in full. Everything.
Satisfied. You're satisfied. It's off the record.
Yep.
Man.
Oh, you didn't catch it.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay. It's you didn't catch it. All your iniquities, all your sins, all your shortcomings, God said he afflicted him, he put him through travail, and as a result, your debt was satisfied. Right.
Penalty, amen. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
The credit rating went up.
Amen, God.
Hallelujah. Thank you. Amen.
Yes, God. Yes. It's satisfied, God. It's paid. It's paid off. Thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Thank you.
You getting it now?
Yeah. Yes.
I'm pushing this issue so strong because I want you to understand we treat salvation like it's, you know, something we got from the dollar store. Mm-hmm. We treat it like it's this one time event and then you just kind of scurry through life barely getting by. No, this is a price paid. The curse of poverty, pay. Curse of sickness, pay. Curse of frustration, pay. Curse of lack, pay. Any negative and evil thing that would seek to come against you, pay. Yes. God watched him suffer. And he said, fulfilled, satisfied, debt paid. I'm good.
Thank you.
I'm not looking to retaliate against you.
Mm.
Thank you, God.
Paid in full, satisfied, not just paid, satisfied, off the books.
Yes.
Sentence served. Record expunged.
Yes.
Mm, yes. My God. Yes. And if it never happened.
Yes.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, God.
Thank you, Father.
Thank you, God. Not just paid, but gone.
Gone.
Amen.
It's not even in the records. You're not a repeat offender. It's gone. No. My God.
Hallelujah.
Now, do me a favor. Go back now to Romans chapter 7. Let me know when you're ready.
Amen.
So he's talking about the law here, right? Down to verse 7.
Mm-hmm.
Well, let's go to 6 first. But now, by dying to what once bound us, we have been released from the law, so that we serve in a new way of the Spirit and not of the old way of the written code. Now, listen to what I'm saying as I read on. Paul is now breaking down what we just read to a modern church. He said, we had to do everything the law said to be right. Our sin was forever before us, judging us and holding us accountable. And death was always a sentence. And that's why we had to do all these sacrifices. That's why we had to repent and cry and make sure we were clean and do all this kind of stuff. But what I read to you was Old Testament speaking of what was to come before it came, long before it came.
Mm.
I want to make sure you understand, we were just in the Old Testament. And it was talking about the price that God paid as if it was done then, and it hadn't yet come. You need to just like really pull into this with me. I just read to you out of the Old Testament, and it sounds just like we were reading something that was already done. It's saying he was bruised for our iniquities, the chastised for our peace, and by his stripes we are healed. All of this is speaking it as if it had happened already. Because in the eyes of God, it happened from the foundation of the world. Before you were in your mother's womb, God laid out this plan for salvation and deliverance for each and every one of us. So Jesus coming to die for your sin wasn't an afterthought. Oh, you're messed up. Let me see what I can do. There it is right there. Laid out complete back then. Everything you just jumped and shout and screamed about happened before Jesus even put his feet on the earth.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, God.
Hallelujah. Thank you.
God made the investment before.
Yes.
And Christ was the manifestation of that. But he's talking about it then as it already happened. Because in the realm of the spirit, your deliverance had been paid for a long time ago.
Amen. 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 Amen.
Amen. When I came to church that day and I got saved, I got delivered. No, you got delivered in Isaiah 53.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Yes. Some people catch that.
How did
yes.
Yes.
Before there was even a problem. Before there,
yes.
There was a solution. Yes, God.
Thank you, Father.
Before I was in my mother's womb.
Come on now.
You delivered me.
That's what the word says, doesn't it?
That's it.
Before yes.
That's what the word says, doesn't it?
Yeah.
See, what I'm trying to do, I'm still unpacking wisdom. What I'm trying to do is to show you that this salvation gift is so powerful on so many levels. So many levels. And they're not earthly levels. They're spiritual levels.
Mm-hmm.
Spiritual levels affect earthly levels. We keep trying to work from earthly levels and move something in the spirit that helps our earthly realm. But that's not the way it was created to be. It was created to be that everything God put in place continues to function as spiritual law. So now we're back here and he's telling them, okay, guys, we've been under this law for a long time. And Paul is the perfect person to talk about it. He went around persecuting the church and putting people to death because they didn't follow the law. He was killing Christians, rounding them up and throwing them in lions' dens, which is brutal and sadistic. I don't know how they made themselves believe that it was godly for them to round up people and toss them to lions and watch them be torn apart with their teeth. I could see the pharaohs and stuff heating up fire and throwing people in fire and throwing people to lions. That's Roman Colosseum stuff, gory, brutal stuff. But they considered themselves the people of God.
That's right, the religious.
Serving Jehovah. Doing exactly what their government did. They sold their souls to government. Sound familiar?
Yeah, we got that now. Yep.
Yes.
Sound familiar?
Yes.
In the name of the Lord, sacrificing and throwing people's lives away and killing people in the name of the Lord, using Satan's skills and gifts to wipe out people that they deem not righteous.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Sound right? This is what we're talking about. God made your pastor a learned man. I've studied this stuff from a baby. And the more I unpack it, the more I realize I barely got a grip on what I thought I understood. So here we go. I did verse 6. We're not stuck under the written code. So what should we say then? Is the Lord sinful? No, certainly not. Nevertheless, I would not have known what sin was had it not been for the law. For I would have not known what coveting was if the law had not said, thou shalt not covet. But sin, seizing the opportunity afforded by the commandment, produced in me every kind of covetousness. You know the stuff you know you're not supposed to do, right? You know, we'll keep going. For apart from the law, sin was dead. I didn't know it was a problem. I didn't know I was sinning until I got saved. Well, I did. Yes, I did. Because I knew there's certain things we just knew growing up that wasn't right. But we say, hey, we're not religious, so we do what we want to do. Once I was alive apart from the law, but when the commandment came, sin sprang to life and I died. I'm not going to go through all that again. That's a couple of weeks back. I found that the very commandment that was intended to bring life actually brought death. Again, two services back, you'll catch it. For sin seizing the opportunity afforded by the commandment deceived me. See the word deceived? And through the commandment put me to death. But it's a deception. It didn't really put him to death. It's a deception. So then the law is holy and the commandment is holy, righteous and good. Did that which is good then become death to me? By no means. Nevertheless, in order that sin might be recognized as sin, it used what is good in me to bring about my death, so that through the commandment, sin may become utterly sinful. And if you understand this reading, you understand what he's saying is the word and the law exposes the evil. It makes you aware. The more of the law you study, the more dirty you realize you are.
Mm-hmm.
Satan is the accuser of the brethren. But does it say you should not study? No. God forbid. Is the law wrong to study? No. God forbid. He's saying you should know the law. You should know what sin is. You should know every act of sin in you and the fact that it lives in you and why it lives in you. But why should you know it? The question is why? And the why is because you now, because of what I've just took you through, understand the price that was paid for this sin that's being clearly pointed out by the law. In other words, you don't know what you got and you don't know what you've been delivered from and you don't know what's yours until you understand what was taken from you. You don't know what's even been left for you until you know what's been taken from you.
Gotcha.
If you were raised in poverty, you don't know you're poor.
Right.
Hmm.
You get around somebody that's rich and understands riches, and then you go, oh, wow, I really am poor. You know, I'm going to tell you something. I was looking at, in my spirit, my picture of the house that God has for me and is moving me to. And I was just kind of basking in the joy of what God was doing with my life and the view and the this and the that, and just thanking God for it as it comes. And something popped up on my screen. And, you know, sometimes I'll be looking at certain things online or videos or whatever. And just my eye will be drawn by God to click on something. And I clicked on Rick Ross's house. Yeah. He gave me a whole different view. I was looking at. And it was he was giving Diddy a tour of his house. And Diddy, who's got more money than him, was walking around his acreage and looking at his house and all that he had. And he was talking about, I'm inspired. Wow, I never thought to do this. Look at, I could take my house that I'm getting and probably put it 10 times inside of his house and still have room. And I looked at that and I said, right, because we look at blessings based on where we are, not based on what God said. We look at prosperity based on where we are, not on where God has called us. Mm-hmm. We look at things as great based on it. And I was watching this other rapper, and he was sitting there in his multi-million-dollar mansion, and he was talking, white kid, and his name is Russ, Underground. You don't know him, but he's worth millions. I've been following him for a while. And not because I like his music, but his story. And he was saying to the interviewer, I wanted you to do this interview outside by my pool and in my surroundings because my goal to reach what I don't have has made me overlook what I have. Right. Are you listening?
Yes.
He said, sometimes this could be a curse. He said, I'm always driven. Okay, now I want the Grammys. And now I want this. Okay, I remember when I wanted 10 million. Now I have over that. And I'm still, okay, now I need to get to this. And I need, he said, and sometime I had, he said, at some point I had to sit down and stop and realize I need to stop and look at the blessing God has given me on pursuit to what I'm going after. I'm talking to you.
Amen. Yeah.
You not have the mansion.
Amen.
Amen.
But you're still looking at what you need to get. And I just opened up the contract in Isaiah 53 and showed you what you have. Mm-hmm. And sometime on the road to what you have, you haven't even taken in the depth, the multi-millions and billions of equity that God has paid for you already in freedom, in deliverance, in peace, in joy, in the ability, in the talent, in the gift to become all of this stuff. There's a reason why most of us on this Zoom right now has not become what they've become, because they didn't accept what they accepted. That this is my gift and this is what God gave me this gift to do. Well, they ain't Christians. Well, they got a better relationship with God than most Christians do.
Amen.
True. They know how to pull on God for what they need. And we don't know what their conversation with God is off camera. They may not live up to the church perspectives, but we don't know what their relationship is off camera. And it ain't none of our business. God knows what it is. Mm-hmm. And God seems to be okay with that. So I've stopped looking at, and I'm not saying this to talk about stuff and possessions. I'm saying this to talk about knowing where you are with God and who you are in God. And until you get that, stop claiming anything because you ain't going nowhere. You've reached your height. You ain't going any further. Just give it up. Me, on the other hand, that ain't the case. And that's why I've been trying to pull you guys. Get past this next dollar. Get past this next thousand, hundred, whatever it is. Get to the fact that this price was paid so that I can have fellowship with God unfettered.
Amen.
Amen.
Go to heaven and run around God's table and crawl up under it and jump on it and dance on it and run into his phone room right while he's having a meeting and jump in his lap and say, hey, daddy, you know, support me and going, you can't go there. Yes, I can. Yes, I can. Amen. I can bust in anytime I want.
Amen.
Yep. Amen.
This price was paid for me. I'm not judging myself by my lack. I'm judging myself by the price he paid. I'm his investment. I'm his prized possession. I come in before his throne at any time with any need for any moment at any second, and my daddy will stop what he's doing to make sure I'm good.
Yes.
Why? Because he paid the price so I can have that.
Yes.
All that suffering he took, all that pain, all that anguish, all that rejection, he took it so I don't have to. The chastisement of my peace is on him. And he's satisfied.
Yes.
Let's bring it home. If I can this week. Look, I thought I could, but maybe not. So much. Verse 14, I think I left off. We know that the Lord is spiritual, but I am unspiritual, sold as a slave to sin. He's correct. But what I read was showing you the way out of that. Mm-hmm. You were sold as a slave, but that price was satisfied. So you're no longer a slave. You got it?
Yep.
I do not understand what I do. But what I want to do, I do not do. But what I hate to do is what I do.
Mm-hmm.
And if I do what I don't want to do, I agree that the law is good or that thing is wrong. It's sin. As it is no longer I who do it, but the sin living in me. You got it? He's seeing it. I almost believe that as he's writing it, he's figuring it out. I believe that. I believe that as Paul's writing this, he's going, oh. For I know that good itself does not dwell in me, that is in my sinful nature, right? It dwells in you, in Christ, but not in your sinful nature. For I have the desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out. Put a thumb up if you've ever been in this place or still find yourself in this place. You know, you understand what I'm saying? Use the reaction or whatever if you bear witness to what he's saying right here.
Mm-hmm.
I know that good itself does not dwell in me, that is in my sinful nature, for I have desires to do that which is good, but I can't carry it out. No takers?
Yeah. Absolutely.
For I do not do the good that I want to do, but the evil that I do not want to do. This I keep doing. This should bless somebody. The word speaks. Now, if I do what I do not want to do, it is no longer I who do it, but sin living in me. That's why I want to show you how the price was paid.
Mm-hmm.
So I find this law at work. Although I want to do good, evil is right there with me. For in my inner being, I delight in God's law. Can I get a thumbs up on that one? But I see another law working in me, waging war against the law of my mind and making me a prisoner to the law of sin at work in me. Now, if it ended right there, everybody would be screwed. But he goes on and he says, what a wretched man that I am. Who will rescue me from the body that is subject to death? And he answers, thanks be to God who delivers me through Isaiah 53,
mm-hmm.
Jesus Christ our Lord. So then I myself in my mind is a slave to God's law, but in my sinful nature, I'm a slave to sin. Now, if you think that's the end of it, you'll just stop and say, well, I'm a slave to sin. Nope. Go to next chapter, chapter 8. Ready?
Mm-hmm.
There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit gives life. Blah, blah, blah. The law of the Spirit who gives life has set you free from the law of sin and death. And they should not have ended that chapter where they ended that chapter. Yeah. They should have ended that chapter right here. This is where that should have ended, right here. But maybe they wanted it to be a cliffhanger. So you are set, the law of the Spirit of life What Christ did, the price he paid, has made you free from the law of sin and death. For what the law was powerless to do, because it was weakened by my flesh. Somebody say, weakened by my flesh.
Weakened by my
flesh. Weakened by my flesh.
Huh. God, by sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh, isn't that how they saw him? They had deemed him stricken and smitten of God. They sent him in the likeness of sinful flesh to be a sin offering. And so he condemned sin in the flesh in order that the righteousness required by the law might be fully met in me, who does not live according to the flesh, but by the Spirit.
Yep. Amen. Amen.
Just read. Good place to bring it home. Yes, sin is alive in us, in the flesh.
Mm-hmm.
And it fights every day to have its way, to win, to control, to be our master, to be our boss. And we wrestle every day trying to get the flesh to submit and behave.
Yes.
And the flesh gives us the middle finger and says, screw you, I'm doing what I want to do.
Mm-hmm.
But what did he say? But the Lord, the Spirit of life is when I walk after the Spirit and not after the flesh. That means walk after the Spirit. See, if you walk after the Spirit, I had a church pastor say that. I'm like, I always say, well, how do you do that? That ain't no explanation. You ain't helped me at all. You just made me feel more guilty. You just told me to walk after the Spirit. I don't know how to walk after the Spirit. How the heck do I walk after the Spirit? Where is the Spirit so I can walk after? Show me where he's walking so I can follow. I don't know what that means. That don't mean nothing. And you spent your whole life trying to walk after the Spirit in your flesh. Right? That's what you're trying to do. You're trying to be spiritual in your flesh. You're trying to make your flesh act more spiritual, and it never works. Correct?
Correct.
He said, how you walk after the Spirit is this. You surrender yourself to what he's done for you. It is his kindness that leads you to repentance. If you begin to understand what he did and the price that was paid, and you begin to own the price that was paid, you stop trying to discipline your flesh and you start to grow your spirit and believe and claim and confess and speak and acknowledge who God said you are and what God did for you and the fact that he did make this investment and that you've been paid for with a high price and that God is watching over his investment to see it bring forth full manifestation, then your flesh loses power because you begin to know who you are in the spirit, and poverty falls off, and sickness falls off, and sins falls off, and disease falls off.
Thank you, Jesus.
Walking after the Spirit.
Amen.
That's the key. I don't preach
my sermon.
Woo!
Listen. Listen. You have to obey the word of promise, not try to behave yourself and chew yourself up and beat yourself down for what you do wrong. That is very little results. Acknowledging who you are in him, taking claim and laying claim to who he says you are and the price he paid for you will change your perception of yourself. It will change the way you see yourself. And once you do, the other things and the other change will just melt and dissolve away. But you can't do it in your own strength, saints. You can't do it in your own power. It has to be by acknowledging what he's done for you, and the price he's paid for you, and the life he gave for you. And if you do that, you won't have to struggle with it. His arm, his military might, his strength, him picking you up and carrying you across the field.
Thank you, God.
Will gain you, will bring you through. In Jesus' name. Amen.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
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 Amen. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord.